He just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter every day. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, and you should, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20. This morning I should have added, when I told you about the 13th chapter and 7th verse of Judges, about when the angel of God told Manoah's wife, he shall be a Levite, or he shall be, excuse me, a Nazarite, thank you all. He shall be a Nazarite from the womb until his death. I got to thinking about that this afternoon and begin to ponder on that. You know what? That's our choice, whether we want to take the benefits of that everywhere in between. Huh? On tombstones, there's a beginning date, and those have died, there's an ending date. But the dash in the middle is what really counts. And we can take the benefit of that if we'd like to. And if we want to, we can. He has given us full rights to that. So this morning I preached on the thought and on the subject of those that have failed God. God still loves you. God still cares for you. He's still got a plan for you. You're still His, and you can take care. You can take advantage of that benefit tonight. There, I have heard though of those, and there's been times. Sorry, I hate to disappoint you. Maybe you've never been this way. But there's been times I've almost had to question, God, why in the world do things have to happen the way they are? Things wouldn't be in the mess if you'd take control. And if you'll just turn me loose, I'll take control of myself. And then I realize that God is in control and I'm out of control. And I need to let Him take the reins and be in control. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 7. See, I know as a prophet and a man of God, if Jeremiah felt this way, every one of us have felt this way at one point in our life. I don't believe any of us is above Jeremiah. Hello. Bear with me, okay? I'll get there. My throat's a little scratchy tonight, too. I don't think any one of us is above Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's felt this way, and he had a reason to feel this way. And what's so amazing is God knows how we feel, and He still tolerates us and still loves us. Oh Lord, verse 7, You've deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am a derision daily. Everyone is mocking me. For since I spake and I cried violence and spoil, because of the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. It means every day there was just people hounding him, bullying him, mouthing him, saying bad things, simply because he had spoke the word of the Lord. Then I said, I will not mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But he got to ponder. Got to contemplate all the things that have been said and done. And I know what I'm getting ready to say, and I'm about ready to shout, okay? But the Bible says, but his words was in my heart, Jeremiah speaking, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary and forbearing and could not stay. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and I don't think I'll keep you very long, but that remains to be seen. Jeremiah had proclaimed the word of God to Judah. Jeremiah spoke the words of the Lord that God spoke to his heart. Now listen, God told Jeremiah to tell the people of Judah, He said, you are a stiff-necked people. And that the God of Israel would turn the evil on them that He had spoken against. When the priest and the chief officer, Pashur, had heard that Jeremiah had said these words, Pashur was a little bit beside himself. Pashur was the son of Immer, the priest. in that particular time and day. The priest should have been taking a stand, but instead he let his son take preeminence over the circumstance and the situation. And for sure heard Jeremiah, and he took him and he beat him to a pulp, and I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, but he beat him and threw him into prison just simply from speaking the word of God. A lot of times we just hear the passage of Scripture where Jeremiah was discouraged, and then all of a sudden he ain't going to talk about God no more, but we don't understand and perhaps haven't read the first part of it, why he was in the shape he was in. From what Jeremiah had been proclaiming that God told him to proclaim and tell the word of God, he was beaten and put in prison because of that. And not only that, people was pressuring him, people was talking about him. Can you believe that this Jeremiah has such words to say negative about God's people? And he was just proclaiming the word of God. When Pashur brought Jeremiah out of prison the next day, the Bible says, Jeremiah told him that God doesn't even call you by your name. I mean, he's getting pretty bold. God's not even calling you by your name. You are such a menace. You're such a troublemaker. You don't even know the voice of God. And God's not even calling you by your name, but has given you a name that means that you will be a terror and you will be a menace to yourself and also to your friends. Well, no, that's a slap on the face, isn't it? Can you imagine the fury in his eyes? Jeremiah said, I will cause you, God said, I will cause you and all Judah to be taken captive, and all your wealth will Babylon possess, and all of you will die, including yourself, in captivity in Babylon. With all the stern words and prophecies he gave to the priests and he gave to Judah the judgments and spelled out the consequences for their actions, Jeremiah was overwhelmed with emotions and exhaustions and from being beaten and thrown into prison and the stress and the pressure on every side. Anybody ever felt like that? Maybe you wasn't thrown in prison. Maybe you wasn't beaten. But you felt the pressures of life. You felt like you was in a pressure cooker and you just about couldn't take no more. Is anybody hearing me this evening? You felt like you had just about gone as far as you can go. You must understand that Jeremiah didn't just out of the blue say, I'm not going to talk about you anymore, God. But he had already been through the pressure cooker. He had been in prison. He had been beaten. He was exhausted. He was stressed out and he was pressured. And it was there that Jeremiah told the Lord, I can't take this anymore. I can't handle this. This job is killing me. You ever felt like that? The harder I try to live for God, the more it's killing me. Oh, come on, somebody. If just amuse me for a little bit, because I know some people's been that way. You may have never been, but some people has. And just the circumstances of life have just overcome. And Jeremiah was one of those that had been overcome with the reality of that job. And he said, I'm ready to retire, or more or less, I at least need a sabbatical. I need something. Somebody, he's about ready to throw in the towel, church. You ever felt like that? God, you haven't been taking care of me. I've been trying to live for you. My finances are shot. My health is shot. Everything's going to pot. What in the world's going on? God, you need to intervene and you're not doing it, and I'm ready to throw in the towel. Wow. Well, I'm just going to leave my glasses on and pray like you're amening and nodding your head because I can't see what you're doing, and I'm just going to preach anyway because I know what the Bible says, and I know what God spoke to my heart. So I'm just going to tell you the truth. Is that okay? All right. Amen. I may have to, if you don't amen me, I'm just going to amen myself. And if I have to stop in my message and amen myself, it's going to take longer, so it'll be a lot better for you if you just amen. He said, but I know, I just can't take no more. I'm ready for retirement. I'm ready to throw in the towel. And in the midst of all of that, and in the midst of all the hurt, and in the midst of all the pain, and I'll be honest with you, I've felt that pressure. I've felt like throwing in the towel. And in the midst of it, when I begin to think about all that God has done, I'm thinking to myself, man, I can't do this. I've got to follow on with God. And that's a the same thing that Jeremiah did. Can I just tell you, in the middle of that, where he was throwing in the towel and where there's fire shut up in his bone, he's making a comeback. Hallelujah. He's making a comeback. When he was ready for retirement, he said, but wait a minute, it's bad. He said, none of this was in my contract. And again, I'm paraphrasing here. He was saying, none of this is in my contract. This is what you and I are saying as well. He said, it's so bad, I'm not even going to mention the Lord's name no more. I'm through. I'm tired. I'm chunking it in. He said, but you know what? In all my misery, he's making a comeback. He said, in all my misery, this is in that passage of Scripture in verse 9. He said, but I'm going to make mention of him no more. But wait a minute. The fire is shut up in my bones. His word is there. It's powerful. And it's shut up. And he's saying, but wait a minute. Just wait a minute. In all my mistrust. Treatment. Listen to me, church. If you don't get nothing else, listen to this right here. He's saying, in all of my mistreatment from others, and though I've been misunderstood, anybody ever felt like you was misunderstood? And though I felt like God has thrown me under the bus, there's still fire that's shut up in my bones. And though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. I tell you, I'm better off where I am with God than I would be living in the king's house. That ought to make somebody shout. Though I may be going through the fire, I'm here to tell you, with God, I'm better off than I would be living in a king's house. Woo, glory. That ought to make some of you want to shout. He's saying, in all my weariness, and all that I have to put up with, anybody ever had to put up with anything? He said, I'm in this thing for the long haul because there's fire shut up in my bones. I'm making a comeback. Until I breathe my final breath, hey, I'm getting ready because I'm on my way for a comeback. I just come by to tell you, in the worst of your misery, you're still better off with God than you are in the king's house or wherever you may be, because the God that I serve has fire that's shut up in my bones. The God that I serve has blessings that I know not of. The God that I serve has meat to eat that I know not of. The God that I serve has a shelter and a fortress that I can call upon, I can run to, and I can lean on Him. David said, I run to the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from God. Whew. Glory, I thought I was just going to teach tonight, not preach, but I can't help it. There's fire shut up in my bones. Church, can I tell you that all through the Bible we see defeats, we see setbacks, and we see comebacks. And those who counted the cost, those who didn't. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian church there, said, and you did run well, but what has hindered you that you should not obey the truth? I'm here to tell you tonight, church, God's looking for some people that desire a comeback. I'm here to tell you that God's looking for some people to start running the race again and not looking back, but looking forward to the help and the strength that God has given us. He said, I'll cause you to rise up as a mighty eagle. I'll cause you to run and not be weary and not faint. Listen, the God that I serve will give you the strength to finish the course. You did run well. We are told that Jesus Himself has overcome and has great things in store for them that overcome. Jesus told us in the last days that we would face great adversity. But He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Did you hear me? He has promised us that in the last days we would face great adversity. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 9. Then shall they deliver you up and be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another.
And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Can anybody see any of those things that's happening in our world today? Have we seen anything like that that's taken place in our United States of America? Yes, we certainly have. But in verse 13, he said, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Hey, I just come by to let you know one more time that we're getting ready for a comeback. The mercy and the grace of God is going to restore to you what the enemy has stolen and taken away. But the Lord God Almighty is more than a conqueror. And we are more than a conqueror when we stay in His presence and when we keep our hand in His hand. John chapter 16 verse 33 said, "These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace." Somebody say peace. I'm here to tell you, God will give you peace when you're going through the worst storm in your life. Hello? In the midst of it all, Jeremiah had been beaten, thrown into prison, mistreated, ridiculed, made fun of. If there's anything that rubs me the wrong way, it's when somebody makes fun of me. Hello? Just being honest. I don't like being made fun of. Do you? Anybody like being made fun of? Yeah. Don't like being made fun of. He was made fun of, but in the midst of it all, when he was so mistreated, he felt like there was a fire shut up in his bones, and God began to give him that peace. Again, John 16, 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Woo, glory. Hallelujah. He's talking to us, church. I said he's talking to us. "Therefore, we have these promises that because he overcome, we can overcome. He has promises he would never leave us nor forsake us. That greater is he that's within me than he that is in the world." Listen to me, church. He has promised he would restore what the enemy has stolen. He has promised he would give us strength. He has promised he would pour out his spirit in the last days. He has promised that he would come again and that he would do it again. He said, "I'll give you the former rain and the latter rain." He's making a comeback. Those things. I believe that what the world needs today is a reintroduction of the Holy Ghost and fire, and the Pentecostal Church of God begin to move with the God, with the Spirit of God, and they see the reality of that Pentecostal fire. Hello? But greater still, and the promise God will restore. The promise, Jeremiah said, "There's fire shut up my bones." And the promise of all that, we're better off with Jesus. You know why? Because he has promised, "I'm coming back." Are you ready to preach with me now? I said, greater still. He's promised that he'll do it again. He's promised he would restore. He promised that he would give us the former and the latter. Anybody with me? But he's promised, he said, I am coming back. "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." Hello? Even the greatest promise of all, Jesus Christ himself said, "I'm going to come back." He's coming back after his bride, and he told us in his word, "I am coming back." Hallelujah. Church, you missed a good opportunity to shout right there. All the misery and all the worry and all the anxiety, all the fear in this world, even though God gives us peace, it's fixing to be over. We're fixing to get out of here. We're fixing to call heaven our home, and we're going to occupy it soon and very soon. John 14, 28, he said, "Ye have heard now, I say unto you, I go away and I come again unto you." I'm making a comeback. "If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I." John 14 and 3 said, "I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again." I'm making a comeback and receiving to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What in the world is wrong with us? I don't know about you, but I don't want to live here any longer. I've heard
people say in circumstances of their lives, they're looking for a way out. Well, I just want to tell you tonight, I got a way out. His name is Jesus, and He's coming back, and I got a way out of this old world. I'm not going to have to worry anymore. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse number 9, says, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, everybody standing around and watching, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said, men of Galilee, why in the world are you standing here gazing up into heaven? Because this same Jesus, somebody say this same Jesus, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. He is coming back. He's coming back. Isn't it awesome that in every aspect of our life, He has promised to come back? Hello? He's promised to come back. That there's times in our life that we have made so many mistakes, but He's promised He'd take us back, and He's bringing us back to a place of full restoration with Him. That there's times we don't understand what God's doing, building character in our life, and some of us is screaming and kicking and squalling and crying, I don't need no more character in my life. God, give me a break. But I'm here to tell you, God knows what's best for us, and He's given you some character in your life. And He's given you a comeback. And in all of that mess of our lives and all the circumstances in the world in which we live, He's saying in all of that, I just want you to know, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And because I'm coming back, I'm preparing a place for you, and I'm going to take you back home with me. I'm coming back. So I just want to tell you this evening, I don't know, have I preached 15 minutes? You've been blessed. Hard 15 minutes of preaching. But I just want to tell you, He's coming back. But I want to ask you a real important question tonight. Will you make a comeback before He comes back? Would you stand with me all over the building? Right where you're standing, would you just close your eyes and lift your hands toward heaven? Say, Father God, I don't understand all the things that's happening to me. I don't understand all that's happening in our world today. But I pray, oh God, that You will give me a comeback. Give me the tenacity, O God, or that I might stand strong. Lord, give me the strength that in adversity I can stand. Lord, in my weakness, You have promised You would make me strong. And I pray, O God, that what time we have left, give us a comeback. Give us a comeback in our individual lives. Give us a comeback in our church. Give us a comeback in our community. Give us a comeback in our state. Oh God, for heaven's sake, give us a comeback that we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world, letting them know that You are coming back. Lord, I love You and I appreciate You, Jesus. Lord, I need You more today than I did yesterday. Lord, I need You, oh God, in all the circumstances of my life that comes up. Lord, things that I don't understand, things that I wished I could change and couldn't. I pray, God, help me to lean upon You. Help me to trust You. Lord, we know beyond a shadow of a tonight, tonight, God, You're God. And I pray, Lord, that You'll put Your loving arms around those, Lord, that need Your touch. Let them feel the soft, tender touch of Your almighty hand. I pray, oh God, that You will lead and guide and direct them. Lord, that You'll take them home tonight, keep them safe. Lord, as they go to bed and lay their head on a pillow, give them blessed rest and give them blessed sleep. As they wake up in the morning, Lord, rejoicing, knowing that we're on our way to a comeback and that You're coming back. Father God, I love You and appreciate You. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done. Thank You for Your Word and what You're going to do. Lord, let the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost stir us, change us. Lord, give us a spiritual metamorphosis, Lord. Oh God, that where we are walking in the Spirit of God. Can you just lift your hands one more time and give God praise? Father, we love you. We appreciate you, Jesus.
Soon I'll step on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore.
Said, amen. God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly. See you Wednesday night.